It is Thursday, November 29th, 2018. This is the PW Torch Live Cast, post-impact edition on Thursday, the 29th of November, 2018. Andrew, I'm not sure if there's really much to talk about on this show. I mean, this show, it wasn't, I don't know, I didn't think it was a very good show. But there's plenty to talk about with Impact Wrestling. But before we kind of talk about the stuff going on outside the business, outside the show, and more involved in the business side, I guess, was there anything on this show in particular that you thought stood out? I mean, the opening match, I guess, was good, but again, creative was just a lot of blech.
Yeah, I mean, the only really positive thing on the show was that first match, I would say. I mean, that was like 20 minutes worth of really good action, but it's hard for me to watch anything right now and just not nitpick it. And not just because I'm nitpicky, but because, you know, there's no real storyline here. I mean, you know, Rich Swann beat Willie Mack a few weeks ago. They disappeared. Nothing ever happened with it. They came back. Am I supposed to care about their relationship? It seems like every single thing like that just has some flaw in the storyline. So yeah, I'm with you. It was, I wouldn't say it was a terrible show, but it definitely wasn't a good one.
I'm finding it increasingly difficult to watch the show at the hour that it's on.
Yeah.
You know,
8
to 10, it was fine. I mean, that second hour,
yeah,
it can be tough sometimes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I spaced out, and I'm watching it, and it has my attention as much as it can. But I mean, yeah, that last match, I don't need to see Tommy Dreamer and Eli Drake go 15 minutes in a goofy garbage 2001 WWE Raw hardcore match. You know, it's just like that does not need to happen.
No. No. And I think they're smart. I mean, they put the tag match on first, mm-hmm, which I think makes sense because they're probably trying to get it out of the way, but they want that match featured, right? And it's hard to feature that match if you're putting it on at midnight on the East Coast. So
yep,
that's the match of the night. I mean, it almost seems like their main event, since they've made this move, their main event matches, their bigger matches have been at the start of the show rather than the end of the show.
You know, it does seem that way, and I'd kind of been wondering that as soon as, like, they did this move. And I guess it's probably smart. I mean, maybe I haven't looked. I've just looked at the overall ratings. I don't know if Impact really does quarter hours, so I don't know. If they release that. So I don't really know how the show does by the end of the night. So maybe that's just what they're going for. And maybe, Impact fan base is, like, in their 50s. At this point, so maybe those are the guys that Tommy Dreamer appeals to who will stay up to watch that, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, or that's, I mean, that strikes me as something that when they were on from 8 to 10, that's, mm-hmm, probably the 9 o'clock match. You know, it's not something that's really heavily featured, I don't think.
Right.
It's the main event here, but it's almost kind of like Raw with that, their third hour. I mean, it's almost like that Raw's main event segment is now at 10 p.m. because they know their audience tunes out after that. I mean, they look at quarter hours, and like you said, we don't know what Impact's are, but they look at those quarter hours, and they know that after 10 p.m., their audience drops, and it drops, you know, pretty dramatically most weeks. So they've been putting their main event segments on at 10 to try to capitalize on the biggest or the most viewers that they have possible at that given point in time. For Impact, again, like, we don't have those quarter hour numbers, but I would think you're right. I would think the most eyeballs they have is probably right at the beginning of the show. And then over the course of the broadcast, it's probably dropping off slowly but surely, or maybe one big drop all at once. Who knows?
I would assume so. And you'd have to be just a diehard or host a show on Blog Talk to watch this live. It's just, I know I've said it multiple times now, but there's just no way I would be sleeping right now or in bed reading the book, and watch this, on the weekend. It's just not that good. And it's just goofy, a lot of goofy crap and storylines that just don't end. I mean, we'll get to it, I'm sure, but like Eddie Edwards in a mental hospital, it's not worth staying up for.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's some really bad stuff here, and there's nothing big. All their really talented guys are just, doing nothing. I mean, I haven't heard Pentagon Jr. speak in weeks. We know nothing about his characters. I mean, Matt Seidel's in the goofy guru gimmick, and they're apparently breaking up soon. Just no real storylines are really gaining traction in an effective way. And when you ask people to stay up till midnight, it's a lot to ask for. So yeah, I'm probably rambling here because I'm tired, but those are just some thoughts for the moment.
One more quick thing before we get on to some of the bigger picture things, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, especially with potential for AEW and TV deals and all this other stuff. We know that Johnny Impact is not a good babyface promo. We've talked about that on the show time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the show tonight, and of the little bit we saw of Brian Cage, I think Brian Cage is really cool. Like, he's a cool act.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he's that babyface promo either.
No.
We haven't heard him speak very much, right? But, that video package tonight, he wasn't making much sense.
No.
like, at one point, they weren't even complete sentences.
Yeah, it was rough. if you can't cut a promo or a really good one, you should be a man of few words or a man of intrigue and mystery. And that doesn't seem to be the route they're going for. I don't know. I want to say understand that, but once you get into editing and go, oof, this isn't good. Like, don't air it or make it a shorter or something. But yeah, that just it didn't really get me more excited for their upcoming match.
And speaking of Johnny Impact, too, in the fact that they're taped and you said, you know, if they edit these things, they should be able to change things or recognize things that aren't good. They made their world champion, their babyface world champion, look like a complete moron. He's talking to Killer Cross backstage, and Killer Cross is trying essentially to offer his protection services he wants to offer help to Johnny Impact in his match against Brian Cage. Everyone in the audience knows that because it's obvious.
Right.
But Johnny Impact, the babyface world champion, who the people are supposed to get behind, looks at Killer Cross and goes, I don't even understand what you're talking about. What do you mean? Just what do you have to say? If you have something to say, just say it. We all knew what he meant.
Yeah.
So all you did was make your world champion babyface look like the dumbest guy in the room. If someone could explain to me a strategy that's a good thing or why that's a positive, then go ahead and try. But I don't understand why you're trying to make your biggest babyface in the company look like the dumbest guy on the roster. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So if the point wasn't to make him look stupid, somebody over the course of editing should have recognized what was going on in that segment and said, you know what, maybe this isn't very good for our top babyface and we should either scrap this and do something else or plug something else in here or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also looked bad during that segment. Killer Cross was talking and then, you know, Johnny Impact just completely stumbled over his lines for a few seconds. Just, what are you doing? Like, nobody knows what you're saying. You know, you could tell, like, in his mind, he was just, like, lost track of what he was doing. Like, that also should have been a point where the director's like, okay, let's do another take here. But that stuff doesn't seem to happen here. They seem to, like, have 20 minutes to shoot something, and then they do one take and move on to the next, because everything is just so amateurish and goofy. And, yeah, like you said, it made Johnny Impact look bad. And, man, I mean, his feud with Austin Aries might as well have been 4 years ago. Like, you know, any rub he got from that seems long gone. Cause he was interesting for a little bit and, now he's not. And, yeah, he didn't look good. Nobody out of this show really looked good coming out of it by the end.
Even the end of the show, when Eli Drake wins his match and then goes backstage and he opens up this note where there were some balloons. I mean, that was supposed to be the hook for next week. But, okay, great. I mean, that was fine. Except for the fact that there's clearly a match going on. Like you
yes.
can hear.
Yes.
It's made to look like Eli Drake comes through the curtain and sees this balloon set up, and he opens a note and he goes, "What is this?" And he starts to read it. But all you hear is the match going on in the ring at whatever point they were taping that segment. The match ended. The whole it was made and edited to look like Eli Drake comes backstage right after his match, and apparently there was already another match in the ring because you could hear ring noises and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's little things like that. Pay attention to some detail, please. I mean, you might be on national television. You might be on at 10 p.m. It might not be the greatest time slot, and you might not be on TV in a month. Who knows? But for now, you're on national television. Try. Like, just try to pay attention to detail. Try to make it seem like I shouldn't be the one, and you shouldn't be the one, and people watching the show shouldn't be the one going like, what is wrong with this? Pay attention. You're editing a national television show. At least make it appear like you're trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does not feel that way at all. There's so many. It seems like it has gotten a lot worse lately. And I know when Kylan used to call it, he reminded me of who the guy's name was, but he's in he jumped ship for NXT, and I don't know if he was the one directing the show with these backstage segments, but they are bad, really amateurish. I complained 2 weeks ago that one of them just had a woman singing throughout for no reason. The one during the Thanksgiving show had a bunch of really loud music, and I'm not like an old man. Old music hurts my ears. It's just I can't hear what the characters are saying, and I don't know how that gets out of any Damore and Scott Sanjay Dutt should be watching these segments and saying like, oh, that music is too loud, turn it down. I mean, that's any video production company in the country would be able to do that immediately. Just it's so completely obvious, but it's like nobody is watching these segments. Somehow they just keep making it to air, and some high school kid is apparently running the production crew there.
Yeah, and it's why, I mean, and this kind of flows into the next topic I wanted to bring up. But with so much stuff going on right now, including the news that the Being the Elite guys and that crew is apparently well on their way to launching their own promotion potentially. There's trademarks that have been filed. We've talked before about how it's never felt like this company was really in danger.
Mm-hmm.
It always felt like they were going to find a way to continue and move on. I was thinking this week, and I don't know if you agree, this is the most dire I've ever felt about this company. And we're talking about, there was times when they were going to be sold, and who were they going to be sold to, and would Bound for Glory be canceled? And that was 2 years ago. But I always kind of figure, you know what, they figure out a way to survive. They're going to figure out a way now to survive. Now, though, I don't see it, honestly. I mean, they're getting bumped off of Pop TV. I mean, not Spike, Pop TV. Nobody watches Pop TV. The only people that watch Pop TV are you, me, and 100,000 other people that watch Impact Wrestling. Like, nothing else on Pop TV draws any viewers.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting knocked. They're getting booted off of Pop. They're getting pushed out. They're getting pushed out of Pop TV. At the same time, the show's sloppy and just not cool. And you've got this really cool group of wrestlers who just wrote their own pay-per-view and sold 10,000 tickets and have everybody hanging on what their next move is going to be, potentially starting their own promotion and getting a television show. Impact is, I mean, this is their third or fourth chance to make a first impression with new ownership that came on board, and Don Callis and Scott DeMore and Sanjay Dutt and these guys. I mean, you're not going to get another shot to make another first impression. So now what are you? Are you a national promotion? I mean, I guess for now you are, but if you can't find TV and you're not the cool promotion, you're not the promotion with the best wrestling, just what are you? You're kind of nothing. And I don't know, this is just the bleakest I've felt about this company in a long, long time, about their future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time finding or figuring out what a positive future could be for Impact, because right now it doesn't feel like there is one.
No, I'm with you.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This past week or so, or just ever since that news broke, I was like, you know, man, how could Impact possibly survive this time? And I know they keep doing it, but that's, I would say, more due to luck than anything. I mean, obviously, they don't have some master plan going on here. But yeah, I mean, you watch this show, and every wrestler on there, it's like I would rather see them in a different promotion. I mean, Trevor Lee was, you know, they didn't do anything with him. I would rather see him in NXT. I would rather see Eli Drake in All Elite Wrestling than wrestling Tommy Dreamer for 15 minutes and hitting each other over the head with cookie sheets. Like you said, I mean, there's just nothing there to hook you unless you're really into Scarlett Bordeaux and the smoke show and this kind of humor. It's no good. And I brought this point up before, too. If you say you really like Pentagon Jr., well, go watch Lucha Underground and go watch MLW because he's used better over there. Pretty much
100%.
Any. Yeah. So what does Impact have? They have their originals that nobody else has. Eli Drake, who is not used well. Abyss, when he shows up. Tessa, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, Yeah, the company has once again failed to create any sort of identity. Damore, Sanjay Dutt just don't have the writing chops, don't have the booking chops to turn this around. It's been a complete failure this past year, so... you know, if we weren't covering this, and it would just be like, oh yeah, I'm immediately jumping ship to All Elite Wrestling if that gets going. Because if you need more wrestling in your life, I don't know why you would pick this show.
I agree, and it's they have just don't have anything going for them now. You know, they're not what they are is unoriginal.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to be a ripoff version of Lucha Underground, and they still are to a certain extent. They're at the same time trying to reinvent or not even reinvent. They're trying to recreate the Attitude Era with certain elements, which doesn't work. They don't know what they are, you know, and they could have been the cool alternative, and they were for a while,
mm-hmm.
but then Ring of Honor took that spot for a lot of people. And now I think you're going to see All Elite Wrestling take that spot as the cool alternative. I mean, if the money's similar, and you know what? With a billionaire backing them, the money with All Elite might even be better. But let's say the money's similar, and you're a guy on the indie scene that's making some noise. You're Joey Janela, a healthy Joey Janela. And the money's the same, and you're just looking at it from a what's better for my career standpoint. Are you going to go to Impact Wrestling? Are you going, which is on at 10 p.m. on Pop TV?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Maybe they're not at all. Or are you going to go to All Elite Wrestling, who's on Tuesdays in prime time on Access TV? I'm just making that up. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So, like you said, they don't have an identity. They're kind of a ship that's just floating out in the ocean with no direction. I don't know what they are. Like, I don't even, at this point, you talk about like they're a niche promotion and they can fill a niche. Well, what niche do they even fill?
Yep.
They don't. They're just kind of like this thing. And yeah, I mean, it exists and yeah, it's on TV, but it's not any good. Not right now.
No. And that's the thing. And I know like Lucha Underground, their ratings took a big hit this year, but I mean, over the past few years, they've had some passionate fans. And they carved out their own niche, as you can see. And like, you know, as you said, Impact basically copied them. WWE took some of their kind of video approaches and mimicked that as well. But yeah, Impact just, it doesn't have a niche. It doesn't have an identity. They brought in some cool wrestlers over the past year. They did some surprising fun things at the time, but it never led to a consistently entertaining show. And those 400,000 people that were watching not too long ago, like, you know, gave it a chance. 280,000 of them are gone at the moment. 120,000 remain. So, yeah, I mean, if All Elite gets off the ground, I feel that is kind of the death of Impact, unless they get a new contract signed soon before that goes on the air and somehow survive another year and try to figure this
out.
That's
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can trick another network into putting them on TV, they'll live at least for another year. But, I mean, even at this point, from another network standpoint, like, what... What do you have? If you're Impact, what are you offering? Like, hey, we have 100,000 people watch our show. Great. Syndicated episodes of Seinfeld probably draw more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's nothing to offer. So if you're a network and you're, what are you going to, you're not going to pay for that show. You're not going to pay for 100,000 viewers. I mean, it just, I don't know. I think if you're WGN, right, and that's one of the networks that is apparently in play.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're WGN and you're going to spend money on wrestling, where would you rather spend it? Are you going to spend it with the All Elite guys who just drew a pretty good rating on a Saturday night for you and drew 10,000 people and have some buzz and seem like they're cool and people are into them? Or are you going to spend money on Impact Wrestling that doesn't draw anything on pay-per-view, can't sell 1,000 tickets, and draws, you know, maybe 100,000 people on TV? It's not even a contest.
No, not at all. And that's why I'm with you. I mean, I know we've also had doom and gloom times before, but yeah, it's this is a big one, because if All Elite gets off the ground, I mean, my interest is over there. I don't have much interest in what's going on Impact because they never follow through with anything. Like, again, like Willie Mack, I was excited to see him in the company. I wrote in my hits and misses. I talked about on the show, he should be a top three, top four babyface in the promotion. They're not doing anything with him. He's 1-2. He never talks. Why bring him in? They're pointless. It is completely pointless that this company just keeps doing this. They have the talent, but they suck at writing and suck at booking, and just the production values are terrible. And I would just rather see all of these men and women on this show in a different promotion right now for their sake.
I don't want to say, oh yeah. I don't want to say that their management is worse than Dixie Carter's, because that's hard.
Yeah.
but it's not any better. Like, just from a straight business standpoint,
mm-hmm.
it's not any better. And that's, I think to me, that's the most disappointing part.
Yeah.
Because when she was out, she was so in over her head,
right,
and so woefully inept, especially once her parents pulled their billions of dollars out. Once mom and dad said, hey, Dixie, we're sick of you losing all of our money. We're taking our money out. Then it got even worse. But I was excited because it's like, well, here's Anthem Sports and they own TV networks and they must know what the hell they're doing, and they're going to treat this show seriously and they're going to invest in it and you're actually going to have good management involved. Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, at worst, at best, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot.
Yeah, and it just, I wonder, why do they keep trying the same crap that's not working? They should be in panic mode and going, why did 250,000 people give us a chance and they're gone? What turned them away? Was it maybe the crappy humor? No, it can't be the crappy humor. Let's keep doing that every night and playing cheeseball music and having Scarlett Bordeaux just up by the ceiling for no reason. Let's shoot KM and Falaba losing at a casino, but not actually shoot them in a casino, because that would make sense. Let's be really cheap about it and shoot them backstage. Let's have Eddie Edwards in a mental institution. That'll bring in fans. No, it's not going to. If this stuff was going to work, it would have worked a long time ago, and it hasn't. And yet they keep on trying it. Just give us some good characters and some good storylines, and let people just wrestle and compete for titles. But they make it more complicated, and they make it a lot worse.
Make it about the championships. It's not hard. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and this without exaggeration, I'm not invested or into really anything they're doing at all creatively on the show. You know, with the exception, honestly, the thing that I think they're doing best right now, that, like, the best feud on the show, the best storyline on the show, is probably Tessa Blanchard and Taya Valkyrie. There's nothing else on the show that's all that good creatively. And even that tonight was a little weird. You know, the referee goes into Tessa Blanchard's locker room randomly and says she can't, put her hands on officials. Well, going back to what you said and their lack of attention to detail, that hasn't exactly been a running theme with her over the last 3 months. You know, usually if you're going to do something like that, you spend 3, 4, 5 weeks of Tessa Blanchard beating up officials. This just felt like it was random, and it was like someone had a random thought the day of the taping. Hey, we want to do this thing where she's going to choke out a referee and Gail Kim's going to make a save. So before that match happens, the referee needs to go into Tessa Blanchard's locker room and say, you can't lay your hands on me. There's no thought to it. There's no long-term planning to it. So I have a hard time investing in, like you said, in anything that they're doing, because who knows if it's going to ever get paid off, number one.
Yep.
And even the stuff they are doing, like there's no structure to it. It just seems like it was all thrown together at the last minute. And even if it wasn't, so if it wasn't all thrown together at the last minute, that says a lot about the people putting it together, because it feels like they're flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, I would say so. It's a mess. And over the years, we've seen promotions be a mess in different ways, like WCW in the Vince Russo era and after that, and WWE at times. And it's own kind of mess, and it's just really cheap, and it's a flat product. And it's like heartbreaking in a way, because, as we've said, we've been watching the show for many years, and TNA has always been frustrating, but there was always that hope that things could get better. Hey, Kurt Angle's coming in. That's really cool. This main event mafia, this is kind of catching on. This is fun. Maybe Samoa Joe will get the title and get a good run. But right now, I can't think of anything that would... I mean, they already botched Pentagon Jr.'s title run. So I'm just trying to think of something that I could really look forward to and sink my teeth into, and Killer Cross and Johnny Impact isn't it.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to something else. We'll go to some emails. ImpactLivecast@gmail.com is the address. You can give us shoot us an email at any point during the week. Some of these even came in yesterday or the day before.
Nice.
So let's take a look at some emails. And one of the topics that was a big topic of conversation this week was LAX getting pulled from the Evolve shows in December. And we have an email from Bill from New Jersey, who says, guys, I'm curious your thoughts on Impact's decision to pull LAX from the two Evolve shows in December, just 3 weeks out for contractual obligations. Impact wrestlers are independent contractors, and the current management had been vocal about working with anyone and everyone to make their company a more attractive place to work. Half of their roster is already on TV with other promotions like Lucha Underground, MLS, I think he means MLW, and Ring Warriors. Ironically, Eli Drake seems to be the one guy that just works for Impact, and he hasn't been toiling in the mid-card since Redemption. That's Bill from New Jersey. Yeah, what did you think of them pulling LAX from these Evolve shows? Because I kind of share Bill's opinion of it looks really bad at Impact.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running any shows those nights. What the hell could the contractual obligations be? What do they need LAX for on those dates? They sit here and will tell people how they're willing to work with anyone, and their guys are going to work all around the world. Pulling somebody from a company that obviously has a WWE relationship looks bad.
It does. Yeah. And that's what I was, you know, I can't think of it either, why that would be. Completely understandable if Impact was actually running shows that night. You know, that's in their contracts, I'm assuming. But yeah, that's, I mean, there's all this bad negative publicity about the company, if there's any at all, or most people just don't care. But they should be going out of their way to establishing goodwill. They should be going out of their way to get their guys on other shows. So potentially Evolve fans could go like, wow, those LAX guys are cool. I haven't watched Impact in a while. I'll give them another shot. But that doesn't, yeah, it seems to be changing. I honestly, I don't know why they did that, but I, for their sake, I hope they have a really good reason. And if they do, they should let people know, because otherwise it just looks bad.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
You know, I've heard a couple of theories on Twitter, and I've complained about this on Twitter this week because I thought it looked bad on Impact. Mm-hmm. And the reaction I got first was, well, why are they going to let them go work for Evolve that has a clear WWE connection with Gabe Sapolsky? WWE is going to steal LAX. And it's like, well, no, that's stupid. You think they didn't know who LAX was before?
Right.
Like, guess what? WWE has all the money in the world.
Yeah.
If they wanted LAX, they don't need to work an Evolve show for WWE to get them. They'll just get them.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that. And if it is that, if it's Impact Management going, we don't want to lose these guys to WWE, so no, you can't work the show, then they're even dumber. Then the management is even dumber than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would not make any sense to me whatsoever. You know, it's not like the internet doesn't exist, and I'm sure Triple H is aware of LAX. I mean, he seems to have a pretty good grasp on all the indie stands outs at the moment. I mean, yeah, exactly. If WWE was like, here's $1 million. You guys want to join us? I'm sure it could happen. Even if they are in contracts at the moment, they could just have them the moment that they're free. So I can't imagine that would be the excuse.
Same here. The other theory was they're going up against the Evolve Tag Team Champions. So people said, well, the Impact probably didn't want their Tag Team Champions to lose on what would be an internet pay-per-view. Well, they haven't been shy about having Brian Cage lose on indie dates.
Yep.
And he's supposed to be their big future world champion. So I can't imagine that's it either. Because again, if it is, why are you suddenly worried about protecting LAX when you haven't been worried about protecting anyone else, including, I think, Austin Aries when he was their world champion, and Brian Cage, and the list goes on. They weren't worried about protecting any of these other guys, but now all of a sudden we're worried about protecting LAX. I mean, I can't imagine that's the case either. So I don't know what the issue is. They don't have a show that night, so I don't know why they would have pulled them. And I wrote this week, and again, I doubt it, but I hope that they're taking care of those guys, because LAX is losing, I think, two nights worth of bookings for what could be petty nonsense that this administration, this management of Impact, was supposedly going to avoid. And they were supposedly going to be so wrestler-friendly. Well, I think, you know, it feels like we're seeing their true colors now.
Yeah, and I would actually almost respect that if they were trying to protect their guys and say, hey, you know, these guys can compete, but you can't have them lose because that's our, you know, tag team champions, and you can book Brian Cage, but you can't have him lose. I'd be fine with that, but that doesn't exactly what you said exactly. That doesn't seem to be the route that they're going. So this is really strange on their part. And if it's a sign of things to come for them, then why would any wrestler work there unless they can't, you know, find a gig anywhere else? Because they really shouldn't be messing with people's bookings at the moment unless there's a really, really good reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is I know they have been advertising the email address on their Twitter account and everything that you can book Impact Talent. I think I think it's like bookimpact@gmail.com or there's some email address that they've advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So is it something as dumb as like LAX went and got this on their own?
Oh.
And didn't book it through Impact?
I wonder.
And Impact is all hissy about it and said, well, we're not going to, you know, you can't use a booking. You didn't book it through us. Which goes back to what you and I talked about over the summer when they were advertising that you could book their guys through them.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing was, well, how much of a cut are they getting?
Right.
You know, how much are these guys having to kick back to the company for being their quote unquote booking agent? I hope that's not the case, but part of me wonders if it is. And again, that's speculation. I have no one's told me that that's the problem, but it makes you wonder.
I would say that, and this is guessing, I would say that's the most likely option at the moment. The only other thing I could think of is if LAX specifically has heat with management and they're just messing with them. So, and if that's the case, they probably wouldn't put them in marquee matches and segments on TV. But yeah, I mean, that would be my guess is that it has to do with like booking fees. Because I know that's been a thing with TNA throughout its existence, even in the early Jerry Jarrett days, they were trying to get money from promoters for booking their guys. And it seems to be a thing that keeps popping up over the years. And they, you know, I guess if you're Anthem, you're probably trying to make any money off of this thing that you can. But it's probably at the expense of some goodwill with other promotions and fans.
All right, let's go to our next email. The next one is from Andrew. Not you, Andrew, a different one. But Andrew G, who says, with rumors of Elite Wrestling, okay, and even he says, how awful is this first sentence? So I'll try this again. With rumors of the Elite Wrestling promotion circulating this week, what kind of impact could this have on Impact? Could wrestlers like Pentagon, Sami Callihan, Brian Cage, Tessa Blanchard, etc., be pulled away from Impact? Do you think there's any room for some kind of partnership or talent sharing? My initial reaction is no, because nothing that Impact has. I mean, from a talent standpoint, yeah, maybe there's not maybe there are some benefits, right? All Elite Wrestling could benefit from some of Impact's talent, but I don't think they're going to want to associate with a company that's circling the drain.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess would be that they wouldn't want any type of talent sharing thing. I think, Andrew, what's more likely is that they will wait for some of these guys to have their contracts come up. And as soon as the contracts come up, that's when they'll make their move and try to sign guys like Callahan and Cage and Tessa and Pentagon and Phoenix and all those guys.
Yeah, I think that's the smarter route for them. I know the only thing that would maybe give them some sort of connection is Don Callis. You know, he's kind of tight with some of those guys. Just due to his work in New Japan. But if you're Cody or the Young Bucks, I don't think you'd want to have any sort of relationship with Impact at this point in time. Just because, I mean, you know, had they kept their momentum from 6 months ago, then sure. You know, if they were doing 300,000, 400,000 fans still in primetime and had some good buzz, then yeah. I mean, it might be mutually beneficial. But the way it is now, it's just you wouldn't want to really associate yourself in an official capacity with them on air. So yeah, I would assume they will, you know, Cody tweeted, I think yesterday, just saying like, hey, what wrestlers are going to be available in 2019. And anyone that's not under contract, which is the vast majority of them, will probably get a good look at. I know like, Tessa signed a couple year deal. I can't remember who else has done it. Eli Drake, maybe.
I think he signed a 1 or a 2 year.
I think it might have only been a one, but yeah, most, it seems like over the 90% of the wrestlers on the roster probably are on short-term deals or just, you know, per appearance fees. So yeah, they could probably have just about anyone they want. I think I could be wrong, but it seems like most wrestlers would be free to go before too long.
Well, our last email has a bit of a different take on this. This is from Jim, and this is a little long, but I want to read it because he has a different take on how AEW could affect Impact. He starts by saying, the Impact TV deal concerns me, especially with the possibility. Let me try that again. I'm stumbling tonight, man. It's late. The Impact TV deal situation concerns me, especially with possibly another serious company looking to get a TV deal in the same time frame. But I think Impact's established track record will get them a decent deal that will give them new opportunities to grow. We'll kind of go with this one paragraph at a time. I would disagree with that. I think, Andrew, you would probably disagree with it as well. I don't think their track record is no longer – I mean, it's established, but it's not established as a million people anymore.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to help them.
Yeah, probably not. No.
I mean, WWE negotiated their new TV deal with what their current numbers were. They weren't saying, hey, 5 years ago, we had 4.5 million people watching our show. Yeah, there's only 2 million people watching it now, but 5 years ago, there was 4.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. I mean, you're selling what you currently have. So whatever they've had in the past, I don't think helps them at all.
I mean, they'll probably just have to hype their YouTube numbers. I saw that they're closing in on 2 million viewers, which is amazing.
Yeah,
because where are those 2 million people? Because
yeah, that's a good point.
1 in 20 of them, if my math is about right, are actually watching the show on while it airs. And then maybe, you know, and then a few more on DVR. But yeah, I mean, that's all they really have to fall on at this point is their YouTube numbers. And I if you're an executive, you're going to look into more than that. And
yep.
I
a smart one.
Yeah, it's just not promising for them at this point in time.
Well, the other thing that people on Twitter have told me who say I'm very negative is that
do
I'm not considering how many people are watching the show from the UK
Uh-oh.
Or India. Apparently, everyone watches the show out of the country.
Mm.
And that's a problem. we figured it out.
We figured it out.
Everyone that used to watch Impact, they all just moved out of the country.
Oh,
still watch the show,
right?
But doesn't count in the U.S. ratings. So that's the problem.
And okay, so the company is just doing fine financially, and they can sign anyone to mid-six-figure deals. And man,
yep.
We have been wrong all along.
They just had about 900,000 people move to Canada, India, and the UK.
Oh, jeez. What are we still doing here?
Exactly. All right. So the second paragraph of Jim's email, he says, as far as how else All Elite Wrestling can affect Impact, I think they are in a position to benefit off of All Elite Wrestling. It would be unlikely that AEW would debut and lock down talent from signing elsewhere. I think Cody's strategy for booking All In with talent and a broadcast team from everywhere showed his cards a bit. I think he's going to push for collaboration, and Impact has been singing that tune for a year now. I think that Impact's reputation for good, healthy partnerships in 2018 is going to pay off in 2019 and beyond. AEW would help keep wrestlers from WWE and also encourage disgruntled talents to trust the open market and give them a good living. How all the pieces will fit together remains to be seen, but I think Impact has an opportunity to benefit with all of the talent that will be available to work and Cody's determination to coordinate with all the major promotions outside of WWE. Also, the relationship with the Elite have with Don Callis is important as well. Impact plugged All In and the Jericho Cruise, and I wouldn't bet against them getting involved with whatever Cody and the Young Bucks do next. Jim, you're more optimistic than I am. You know, I look at Impact, and we talked about this at the top of the show, Andrew.
Hmm.
I don't really know, with the exception of a few pieces of talent, what a new wrestling venture would benefit from partnering with Impact. Because you're not going to You're not going to be putting your show in front of more eyeballs than are going to be watching. All Elite Wrestling is probably going to have more viewers than Impact. Their WGN show had more viewers than Impact. So plugging your show on Impact isn't a big help. I mean, with the exception of, like you said earlier, having the access to some talent, I don't know why they would be going out of their way to partner with Impact Wrestling.
No, I don't really. Jim could be right. Maybe they will pair up, and this could be good things for them potentially. But the way I look at it is, if I wasn't doing the show and All Elite's on, I would probably just watch All Elite and get my wrestling fix for that. Watch that for 2 hours a week, hypothetically. If I wanted any more, watch some WWE. And at that point, then Impact becomes your third or your fourth or your fifth choice. I think it just pushes them down another notch. I mean, if you're the, I don't know his name. I just don't know football, but the billionaire son owner, if you're making all these big deals and spending potentially tens of millions of dollars to get this going, are you going to want to lend out your talent to Impact Wrestling? And if you do, what's the benefit for you? Because if you have all this money, enough to sign Cody and the Young Bucks, I don't think you'd want to risk those guys getting hurt on a show that's watched by probably a fraction of what yours is going to be. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it at the moment.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Yeah, I see All Elite Wrestling as Cody, the Young Bucks, those guys getting on. They're no longer on the indie scene. Mm-hmm. Like, their AEW is now their promotion, and that's who they work for. They're not taking indie dates. Like, those being the elite guys are not taking indie dates in the first half of 2019. At least not right now. Why? If they were going to be collaborating with all these indie promotions and they were going to be on all these indie shows and indie guys are going to be working for them, why wouldn't they be taking indie bookings? This, to me, is their opportunity to have their own company where they make their own schedule and they work for themselves and they're no longer going to even be doing the indie thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard, I think it was, I don't remember if it was Wade and Bruce or Wade and Tom Martin, who are saying, that they've made a good living in Japan, and like especially the Young Bucks do really well in Japan. I forget which show it was, again, which show I was listening to, but one of them wondered, are they even going to go back to Japan all that much after this? Is New Japan even going to be a thing for them? Or are they just going to do this? And they're going to spend more time with their family, which is obviously important to all of them. They've said that. Are they going to take this as an opportunity to run their own company and work less and be around their family more and not have to worry about running around to different indie promotions every single weekend? I mean, I think that's more likely than anything else.
I do too. I would say it's more likely you would see Don Callis leave Impact and join them to be an announcer within the next year than it would be for All Elite guys to show up on Impact. That'd be my prediction.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
And in some type of management role.
Yeah. I mean, that could certainly
Maybe
happen.
He's an agent or a producer or something.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's probably got his interest at the moment. Maybe he's trying to get those guys to appear on his show, but I don't see it. Yeah. If they're not taking any indie bookings and if this guy has that much money, I think he's going to want to protect his investment. Maybe All Elite will just fail and nothing will really come of it. But, as we get closer to January, and Cody says he has a big announcement, it seems like this is looking legit at the moment.
It does. All right. Well, we're almost at the 1 hour mark. It's 12:53 now. And we've hit on a lot. But is there anything that you want to touch on that we haven't touched on yet before we wrap up this show?
I was kind of looking through some notes I jotted down. The only thing, and this was small tonight, Kira Hogan's was a pretty big dud. I felt so bad for her having to say, "Don't let the darkness consume you. Please, please come home."
The Allie that I know will break out of this.
Sanjay Dutt, Damore, Callis, I don't know, whoever wrote that, just you should be embarrassed for yourself. And please stop.
Yep.
Just please stop. Mm-hmm. You're ruining careers right now. Like, Kira Hogan, leave if you have the chance. Go to All Elite if they'll let you.
It's bad TV.
It's really bad.
Like, it's not good writing. It's not any good anything.
No. That's about it. That was the only other thing that we hadn't really touched on. I think we're both just kind of impact depressed tonight.
Because that came not long after Eddie Edwards was in the mental institution. He's sitting there with a blank look in his face, drooling, and what's Alicia doing? Screaming at him.
Yeah. Poor dude. He needs serious psychological help.
Yeah, no wonder why the guy's at a mental institution. He's constantly getting yelled at.
Yeah. I thought, to give it some credit, I think Moose was pretty good acting in that, but that's just still a waste of time and a waste of anyone's talent to be involved
in. You're right. He was good. But he has to sit across a drooling Eddie Edwards while doing that thing.
What is the point? So for Homecoming, we're supposed to want to see Eddie break out of his funk to fight Moose once again. Is that the ultimate goal here?
Probably while wearing a hospital gown.
Did they learn nothing from Scott Hall going to a mental institution in WCW? It's not good. Oh no, Ric Flair and Scott Hall was in the background. Yeah. There we go.
It's just more recycled garbage.
Yeah.
But they have no original ideas.
It's everything is so bad. And I really do feel bad for these wrestlers because like they're talented wrestlers. And with the better writing, hypothetically Moose is in NXT right now. Eddie Edwards is in NXT. They would be used better and they wouldn't just make me go, "Oh God, it's Moose. Oh God, it's Eddie Edwards." And it's not their fault. They're good. They just in crappy angles all the time.
Nothing about what they're doing is real or has any sense of reality to it. Like you think about the show right now, and some of the top storylines includes a woman who sold her soul and is possessed by demons. Another guy's in a mental institution. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it is ridiculous. But that's two of their top angles right now.
And then, Eli Drake, a guy who could be a top star, wrestling Tommy Dreamer. Conan is suddenly obsessed. Conan suddenly has something going on with Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix and doesn't want them to fight because then friendships will be ended. I mean, when was that ever his character?
Yeah, exactly. It just, it's frustrating. Frustrating when it was on from 8 to 10. It's even more frustrating when I want to go to bed and I'm still watching it.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. Yeah. Man, last night I was nostalgic for the Jeff Jarrett era where like Matt Morgan and Nick Aldis came in, Magnus, and that show wasn't that good, but I was like, at least something seemed like it was going on then. And we didn't really enjoy those shows at the time. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Nostalgic for crap.
it at least felt like a wrestling show then though.
It did. Yeah. And the X Division was treated seriously. And yeah, it was, I will take that kind of boring, predictable blah stuff over Supernatural nonsense. Yeah.
But they must think it's good because they keep doing it. So
somebody does, but they are wrong.
Very wrong. Very, very wrong. All right. Well, I think that's all. Anything to plug before we wrap this up?
I will briefly plug so we can both just go cry and go to bed. PWpodcast.com. Check out, if you are a VIP member, check out the Pull Apart podcast. It's a really cool podcast where Caitlin Lavelle, Jeff Rush, and Joe Aguinaldo kind of talk about all the big podcasts from the week. They cover like 10 different podcasts, like Steve Austin, Something to Wrestle, 83 Weeks. Nobody has time to listen to all those. So those three go through the show. They cover them, tell you what's good, what's bad, what was annoying, what stories were ridiculous, what was funny. Just they run through them all. And it's a good, fun time. I love listening to that show on the weekends. Also, check out pwpodcast.com. We've had more content on lately. I usually get a couple of recaps up a day. Booker T, Sam Roberts, Steve Austin, 83 Weeks. And if you ever want to be a contributor to pwpodcast.com, hit us up at pwpodcast@gmail.com. I am at Andrew, S-O-U-C-E-K, on Twitter.
I'm at Torch McMahon on Twitter. You should also go VIP. You know, we talked a lot about AEW on the show tonight. And if you want to hear more about AEW and more analysis about the promotion and what it can mean, not just for Impact, but in wrestling in general, you should go VIP, because I know on the VIP side of things, Wade Keller, Sean Radican, Rich Fan, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, they all talked a lot about AEW over the last week or so. A lot of really good information, a lot of good insight, a lot of good analysis. So if you want more on that and just anything, there's more wrestling coverage than you can imagine if you go VIP with us here at The Torch at pwtorch.com/go VIP. So that will do it for this week's edition of the PW Torch Thursday live cast. Andrew and I will be back next week. I think we're back for the next 2 weeks, Andrew. And then after that, they're going into best ofs.
Yes.
So I don't know what we'll do those best ofs week. Last year on the best of week, we did one show, I think, right?
Did we do a live commentary thing?
I think we like did a watch along, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That might be fun. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, I'm sure their best of episode will only be like 20 minutes long too, so.
They can't be showing much. if it's truly a best of.
Right.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of the Thursday Livecast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for emailing the show. And again, remember, impactlivecast@gmail.com. Anytime anything Impact comes up over the course of the week, shoot us an email at that address, impactlivecast@gmail.com, and we'll get to it on the show next Thursday. So thanks again for listening. Andrew and I will talk to you next week, right back here on the Thursday Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.